Okay, you are tuned to WHPK 88.5 FM in Chicago. You are listening to the Sitting in the Park show. My name is Bob, and today we have a special show because I have up in the studio right now two members of the West Side Chicago group called The Intentions. So they'll be here telling the story of their group, and we'll be playing their records. So you should definitely keep tuned. So, first of all, I was wondering if you two guys could introduce yourselves.
I'm Jim Jordan from The Intentions.
Okay.
My name is Sam Tate, also with The Intentions.
Okay, so first of all, as I mentioned, you guys are from the west side of Chicago, is that right?
Yes.
Which specific streets are you guys from?
Well, I'm off Central and Lake Street.
That's just where you are now, or
right? Yes.
But where were you back? Where were you back in the day?
Down by Kizzy and Jackson.
Okay. And
I was on Jackson and Horn.
Okay, so you guys were like a mile away from each other,
yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah, approximately.
So so you guys sang in high school, but you didn't form a group together in high school.
No.
What schools did each of you go to?
Well, I went to Marshall, and one of the singers from The Intentions is named Eddie Moore. We both was from Marshall. That's when our original group called started, but we were the Continental Flames.
Okay, when was that? What years were you in school? Was it late 50s?
Yeah.
Okay.
Middle 50s.
Okay. So you don't remember what year you graduated? Was it before 1960?
Yes.
So you were in schools just singing with Eddie and with a group called the Continental Flames.
Right.
And you never recorded anything when you were in school?
No, not during that time.
And Sam, did you sing when you were in school too?
Yeah, well, it was after I got out of school. In fact, I was married when I met The Intentions. I was with a group called The Exciters, and I was going to attend in Crane High School at the time.
Okay.
And I left Crane in 62.
Okay, I think the Ideals were in your school around that time. Did you know any of them?
No, not really.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And we were talking earlier, the most famous group that came out of your school, they were the Pharaohs, who became Earth, Wind, and Fire.
That's right.
But they were in school later than you, right?
Right, right. In fact, we lived on the same street, next door to each other.
Okay.
On Oakley.
So you guys all sang pretty much just in high school groups. And how did The Intentions form? When did you guys form The Intentions?
Well, after the Continental Flames, we broke up because we lost one of the members, and we was auditioning for another singer, and that's when we Sam Tate auditioned for the group, and he came and became a Continental Flame at that time. And as time moved on, we was rehearsing at a place called Union Park. And we ran into a guy, the producer called George Redman.
Wait, so first of all, how did you meet Sam? You just knew each other you sang in the same places, or how did you know Sam?
Well, our group was auditioning a singer for the Continental Flames.
So Sam just came in and auditioned,
right,
for you.
He found out about the auditioning, and
do you remember how you found out about their group?
No, at that time it was like, you had a lot of street groups, singing groups that would sing different places, competition at the local parks and whatnot.
Okay.
So this is the way I ran into these guys. They were looking for a singer, and I was in, looking to get out to change groups at the time.
And one more thing you were telling me earlier was you were singing in a group called the Exciters, and you told me that you had some connection to the Steelers.
Yeah, we all grew up together. Again, it was a neighborhood thing.
Okay.
The Steelers, we all grew up together. We were part of the Steelers. We're in the Exciters.
Okay.
And we decided to look other, to get in different groups.
Okay, so you ended up singing with Jimmy and Eddie then.
Yes.
Were you still called the Continental Flames back then?
No, we came in contact with the producer George Redman.
Well, but before you came in contact with him, you were still called the Continental Flames.
Right.
And what do you remember around what year you guys all came together? It was early 60s sometime?
Yeah, it had to be.
I would say around 62.
Okay.
62.
Okay. So then, and then you were telling me George Redman saw you.
Right.
And it was at a, you were saying you were doing a show in a park?
Yeah, at Union Park. And he came in because there was a lot of groups participating at that particular park. And he heard our group, and he came to us and said he would like to record us.
Okay. So where was Union Park located?
It was on Ashland and...
Ashland and Ogden and all the way back to, I think, Madison almost.
Okay.
And that was the park area.
So it was just a park where groups got together and sang.
Right.
And you guys had been out of high school for a while.
Right.
And you guys were just singing because it was just like an activity that you guys did. Did you like have aspirations of recording? Like you wanted to record, or what was it?
I think that in any of the street groups at the time, that was their main focus area. We'd love to record. You know?
Okay.
And you look at the groups that were existing at the time, and you kind of pattern yourself after them, or you look to sound like someone.
Okay.
And like I said, one of the big features at that point, a lot of the groups sung in hallways because of the echo effect,
yeah,
or in the viaducts because of the echo effect.
Yeah. So George Redman saw you at the park,
right,
and did you sign a contract with him? Did he take you to the studio right away? What happened?
Well, he didn't take us not right away. He the band that we had at the particular time, he wasn't quite satisfied with that band. And that's when we came in contact with the what's the name of Quincy's band?
I don't recall their name as the band, because we kind of met again in separate thing. We met a drummer here and a sax player here or whatever, and we kind of formed our own thing.
Yeah, I know Quentin Joseph was late, his band was later the Pieces of Peace, but I don't
right,
think
that's right. The right. Pieces of Peace that became our band.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but I didn't know they were together that early too.
Yes.
So you said you came in contact with George, and what was the band you had before that? Just, you know, did they have a name even?
Called Sound Masters.
Okay.
They were brothers.
So when you played in the park, did the band play with you, or was it just when you did shows?
No, the band played with us in the park.
Okay.
We rehearsed in the park with the band and everything.
Yeah, that's interesting. I thought the park was just a bunch of guys singing, but you actually had a band set up
right
there playing with you.
Right.
And George... George ended up recording you guys. Let me play your first record, and then we can talk some more.
Okay.
This is The Intentions with I Just Can't Win.
Yeah.
Okay, that was just the Intentions from the west side of Chicago with their very first record, I Just Can't Win. And if you're just tuning in, I have two members of the Intentions, Jimmy Jordan and Sam Tate, talking about their group and their story and their history. So that record I just played, it was their very first record, and I think it came out around 1966, sometime around there. And before I played the record, we were talking about how you guys had actually met the label owner named George Redmond around 62. He saw you guys in the park. So it was a few years before he actually recorded you. Was it just, so you don't know the story why it took so long?
No, I think he had a little financial problem.
Okay. And that record came out on his label called Money Town that he had at the time.
Right.
So were you guys doing shows too, or was it just singing in the park mainly?
No, we were doing shows.
Okay. And what were some of the places that you were doing shows at the time?
There was a place on State and 55th, and I forget, it was called The Club. We did shows there. And we did shows at some of the local Keyman's Club and things like that.
Okay.
Know, regular dance hangouts.
And that was even before you had a record out, you were doing shows.
Right.
What type of stuff did you do before you had a record out when you had shows?
Well, we would do, naturally, we would do other people's records, you know.
Okay.
And, you know, we were very good at that.
Okay. And that song that I just played, I Just Can't Win, who do you guys all write that song together?
Yeah.
Okay. And who sang lead on that record?
It's Eddie Moore.
Eddie Moore, which is he's no longer with us, but Eddie was lead singer on that.
Okay, and a lot of groups had different lineups, but your group pretty much always had the same three guys in it. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah.
So that record got released, like I said, around 1966. And did it get any radio play at all when it came out?
No, not hardly, not too much.
Very little.
Okay. And like he just didn't promote it well, or,
right?
And yeah, because he released a lot of records on you. I think your biggest record was called I Don't Care Anymore.
Correct.
Okay, so that record just got released, and then he released a second record on you on his Moneytown label called I'll Be Lost. Did you record it around the same time, or did you record it later?
No, we did a lot of the records. Our recordings were there. We would go into studios with two or three records to do. It was not a one shot deal.
Do you remember what studios you went to record?
Serrano's, P&S.
Columbia was one.
And you went to Paul Serrano's,
right,
studio.
Yeah.
Okay, and where was the Columbia studio?
North side of downtown Chicago.
Okay.
I don't recall exactly, you know, where it was at the point. That's been a number of years ago.
Okay. So let me play your second record and we'll talk some more. I really like this one. This is called I'll Be Lost.
Thank you.
Okay, you're tuned to WHBK 88.5 FM in Chicago. If you're just tuning in, I just played The Intentions with I'll Be Lost. And The Intentions, two of the members are up in here right now talking about their group and the story of their group. So the record I just played again, it was called I'll Be Lost. And it also came out on George Redman's Moneytown label. And you guys were telling me earlier that you actually thought the song might have not been released because you said there's something wrong with it. Well, yes, well what's the story?
He said, George said he wanted this, the harmony after the modulation. He said a harmony then wasn't cracked up at a point. He said he wanted to go back in the studio and redo it.
Okay.
So therefore, we never knew it. We never knew it had even came out.
You just probably just pressed it and you didn't
That's
know
right.
about it. And the other side of the record is interesting because it's called London Bridge is Falling Down. It's about losing a girl in
right.
London. And Gene Chandler had a similar song called London Town
yes.
play around the same time. So, but that record obviously didn't get any play since you didn't even know it came out.
Right.
so who was the, do you remember who the band was playing on the record?
That's the Tempo's,
Quentin, okay, yeah.
So you think of the early version of the Pieces of Peace actually
right.
playing,
that was there.
Playing
right.
on the record.
Right.
That's interesting. So then, and you guys are telling me that you played instruments too, is that right?
That's correct.
What did you guys play?
Jimmy played piano, I played bass guitar
okay.
and saxophone, but I never recorded it. I would just turn that information over to whatever band that was backing us at the time.
So you would use it to write songs pretty
That's
much?
That's it, primarily, yes.
Well, I played on a lot of, most of our songs. If you're a keyboard, I normally play on our songs.
So you're actually on record playing
right.
keyboard?
Right.
Okay. And how did you guys, so you guys, one thing, like a lot of groups I talked to, they had other people write their songs, but you guys actually wrote most of your songs, is that right?
We wrote right. all of them.
So did you guys just sort of, you guys had been singing together, so you naturally did it, or did you ever, you had no, that's how you got into songwriting pretty much?
Well, right, with the Can You Handle It, when Tate, he wrote that one, he said that that's something that he said, Jimmy, this right here is something I know that'll fit your voice.
Okay.
So he wrote that one, and it came out pretty nice.
So did you guys ever, like, have originals or write songs before you recorded?
I think, yeah, but that, you know, basically that's what ended up being recorded. We would sit down and we would talk, or we'd come up with a new idea, and we, you know, it was all a shared effort.
Okay, and so the next record that you guys released was called I Don't Care Anymore and She's My Baby, and that was like your biggest hit record in Chicago,
right.
the one that got
right.
played.
Right.
So, and it came out also on George Redman's label, but instead of Moneytown, he called this label Blue Light. So, do you remember, you recorded this around the same time as the other stuff, probably?
The most memorable thing about this record was the fact that we recorded this in 1967.
Okay.
And we were on tour going to Kansas City the day of the big snowstorm here in Chicago.
Okay. And so you did shows in Kansas City, too?
Yes.
Yeah, I know George Redman had a lot of contacts in Kansas City. He released a bunch of Kansas City artists, too.
Yeah.
But so you guys, did you tour anywhere else?
There was some minor. We within the city, right, we would go to, like, Indiana or whatever.
Arkansas.
Yeah, we did do an Arkansas right. thing, yeah.
And
When did you go to Arkansas?
You'd have to ask Jimmy about that. I can't recall.
So what was the story? Did you have a review, or did you tour with yourself, just yourselves?
No, we were in Kansas City. We were with, I think it was the Impressions, and I don't know, I think Michael was out there. They had a very young group at that point, Michael Jackson.
Okay.
Yeah. So these are things that, you know, again, I'm hard-pressed to find, to remember who else was on the show. We were not the star contenders there, but we had number 10 in Kansas, but they were biggest well-known artists, and we were at that point.
So how did you get on the show? Was George Raymond your manager also?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So he booked the shows.
Right,
and
right.
Okay, and how often did you do shows at the time? Were you doing club nights like once a week, or...
I would say no. We would do a lot of local shows.
Okay.
Tours. We only went on a couple of tours.
But were you working a lot locally at the time?
We did a lot of high schools.
Okay.
A lot of high schools.
You played at New Trier in the
yes.
Suburbs? That's funny.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that one. Yep.
Okay. I'm going to play your record that was your biggest hit, which is I Don't Care Anymore. That was the side that got played, right?
Right.
I like the B-side. Funny. It's kind of funny. You're singing about an ugly girl. I'll play it later if we have time, but this is your biggest hit record called I Don't Care Anymore. Okay, you're tuned to WHBK 88.5 FM in Chicago. You are listening to the Sitting in the Park show. Right now I have up in the studio two members of the group The Intentions, and I just played their biggest hit, which is called I Don't Care Anymore. And so one thing I never asked you is how'd you get the name The Intentions?
George Redman, he named us that.
Okay, and is there any reason why he spelled your name wrong?
I haven't. This is good.
Okay, so
this
you...
This is good.
It's good, though, because there were a few other groups that spelled it right, so you were the only group with that. You have a distinctive name because you have an S in your name at the beginning of the name, or two S's in your name. Okay, so that record, you remember, it got played in Chicago, right? And you said it got played in Kansas City, too?
Right.
Did you get any more work from that record getting play?
Yeah, we got quite a bit of work from that right there.
Was that pretty much the first time you heard your music on the radio?
That one, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
You don't remember how high up like the WVON charts or any of the charts that went?
No.
Okay. And so you cut a few more records after that. You cut a record called Can You Handle It?
Right.
And another interesting thing is you cut records that were redone on records that George Redman had released, like the same backing tracks. Like you you cut record called Baby Baby Release Me and I Love You, and they were on top of Mandel's backing tracks that George Benjamin had already released. So did you guys, he just gave you the backing track and it's like, write a song?
Yes, but yeah. We didn't know that.
We had no idea that that was a copy or whatever.
Okay.
Or backup, as you call it.
Okay.
So, again, we pretty much we always did on lyrics and whatnot.
Okay.
So if we heard a track, we could put lyrics to it.
Okay.
And that was about it. He's, here's music, do something with it.
Okay. Yeah, like I definitely, on all your records, I see that you guys have writing credits on it. It's like you wrote your own songs.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'll play some of your records, depending on how much time we have. Another record label you were on was USA Records. Do you remember anything about how you got on that label or who put you on the label?
I was not aware that we were on USA.
Yeah. Well, do you remember the songs, She Needs Somebody,
yeah,
and You
right.
Say That You Love Me?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
At that point, George was handling the business end of it, so we had no knowledge of what labels he was going to with the music.
Okay. So, I'm just trying to think of which one I should play next, or...
name them again, please.
Can You Handle It?
Okay, so
Can You Handle It, yes.
Okay, so one thing that's interesting is you did Can You Handle It as the Measures and as the Intentions.
Right.
I'll play the original version, and then we could talk some more.
Okay. Thanks.
So this is the Intentions with Can You Handle It? Okay, that was just the Intentions with Can You Handle It, and they later remade that record as a group called The Measures, which we'll talk about in a second. So one thing I wanted to note, on a lot of your records you had like a harder edge kind of R&B type sound, like on that record. Who sings the lead on that record?
That's me.
That's Jimmy.
Okay, so did you have kind of... I mean, were your shows kind of based around that too? Like, you're
yes.
more like rocking kind of
yeah.
sound than this. Okay.
We enjoy performing on stage.
Okay.
We perform the way we holler.
Well, did you have any like a specific act you had, or you just came out and did the songs?
All groups, back in the era, every group then, one of the things they did, they dressed alike and they did movements and steps.
Okay.
Which is not the case today, but. During that time, yeah, we had a routine, which we call the stage routine, we did.
Okay.
And again, we dressed alike and we partied.
Okay. So you cut that record, and a lot of your records actually had that kind of harder edge sound like we were just talking about. So one thing that's interesting is you cut a record as The Measures. So what's the story with, and you actually redid that record, Can You Handle It? What's the story with that?
Well, after we left from George Redmond, we came across the producer, Barry Dispenza.
Okay.
And we started, we signed up with them.
Okay.
And he wanted us to do a remix of Can You Handle It Over Again.
Okay. So did you have to change your name because of contractual things, or just
wanted? He wanted us to change the name.
Okay.
He changed the name. Barry Dispenza changed the name.
So he came up with the name The Measures.
Right.
Okay. And you redid the song Can You Handle It, and were you together for much longer after that?
No.
So did you ever do shows as The Measures, or you kept the name The Intentions for your shows?
A couple of shows at the Measures.
Okay.
With Barry.
Okay.
A couple of shows that he had booked for the group under the Measures.
Okay. And then you eventually broke up after that.
Right.
So you were together for a while, and I guess the story with a lot of groups is they're together for long enough, and then they're not successful, so they kind of... want to go on with their lives. So what did you guys do after that? Like, I know, Sam, you were involved with engineering.
Yes, and I had that, and in fact, I was married at the time as well. So I'm dealing with a young family. I ended up in with radio station VON.
Okay.
As a street manager for some of the DJs there.
How did you get involved with managing some DJs?
Well, the DJ... Butterball.
Okay.
Had played our record, and I'm anxious. I'm at work listening the first time it's going on air, and he played the record. And prior to him playing the record, he said, "Take out your tape recorders because this is the last time you're going to hear it." And he played the record, and at the end of the record, he made it sound like he had smashed it. And I'm going, what? Here I am waiting on my record for the first time. So I called him and asked him if I'd take him to lunch. And he said, yeah, and I went down to take him to lunch. And we were going to lunch, and my main objective was to get on the expressway, speed up as fast as possible, and beat him with one hand. And when he explained to me why he had did that to my record, I understood, and we ended up going on to lunch, and from there it transpired into me becoming his street manager.
Okay.
And that lasted for about 7 years. It was really nice, so it was... There was some misunderstanding about the management and how they had approached him, was why he was angry.
So by street managing the DJ, you mean that, like, the DJ did, like, sets at clubs?
He would do sets at clubs. I would book those sets.
Okay.
And make all the arrangements for it. And and we became very close friends because we were in the same trade.
Okay.
He was an electrical engineer.
Okay.
And so was I. But... he ended up being a DJ because his DJ that he was engineering for, CHB in Detroit, I think it was, got drunk and passed out. So he had to complete the show, and they made him a DJ from then on.
That's interesting. I never knew that's how Butterball got started DJing.
Yeah.
So and you said you managed some other
DJs? Yeah, Joe Cobbs. I've had things with Herb Kent, Cecil. From the old VON, and basically I did those on a on and off basis, but Butterball was my main client, and as I say, I was with him for probably 7-8 years.
Okay, so did you ever do any music stuff after that?
No.
Okay,
I went from that from management then as when VON was sold, I got out of that part of the industry as well.
Okay, and I know that Jimmy had done some music stuff after that too, a little bit.
Right.
I want to play more of your records because you have a lot of records and they're all pretty good. I want to play them on the radio. So this next record is called She Needs Somebody, and it came out on the USA label.
Oh,
Okay, that was just The Intentions with a record they released on the USA label out of Chicago called She Needs Somebody. If you're just tuning in, we have two members of The Intentions, Sam Tate and Jimmy Jordan, talking about their group. So right before I played that record, Sam was talking about how after leaving the group, one of the things he did was he became a manager of road managers, right? Like, I guess, of a lot of the WVON DJs for when they did sets at clubs. And Jimmy, you continued to do some music stuff, or at least you cut one more record.
Right.
So after you broke up, did you and Eddie just keep singing together? What happened?
Yeah, we was working with these musicians, and they was doing a couple of nightclubs over in the area, and they needed a couple of singers. So Eddie and I was decided to go out as a dual singers.
Okay.
And we got hooked up with this producer, Reese.
Oh, Ophie Reese.
Yeah, Ophie Reese.
He ran the One Way label.
Right. And we would start writing a couple of things for his label, for his company, and he asked us if we would do record something for him, you know, just it and that. So we did a drum for him, just to do one thing.
Okay. So you actually wrote some stuff. You don't remember now what artists you wrote for on his label?
No, not quite.
Okay. And then so you ended up cutting a record called Needle in a Haystack and Stop, Think It Over.
Right.
Do you remember what was the A side, the intended A side of it?
Needle in a Haystack.
Okay. Well, how about I play that record and we talk a little bit more?
Okay.
Okay, so this is Jimmy and Eddie. What would you say?
He's never heard it before.
Oh, okay. Well, this is Jimmy and Eddie with Needle in a Haystack. Like a needle in a haystack. Okay, that was just Jimmy and Eddie with Needle in a Haystack. And if you're just tuning in, we have members of the Intentions, which included Jimmy and Eddie, which is Jimmy Jordan and Eddie Moore, is it? And that was a duo that they did together probably in the early 70s, is that right? And it came out on Ophie Reese's One Way label. And Ophie Reese, if listeners don't know, he was actually a member of the group The Kingpins also before he came to Chicago and formed his own record label. And do you remember some of the musicians that played on that?
Yeah, the drummer was a drummer, his name Eddie Thomas. Now, Eddie Thomas was the drummer when I told you Eddie and I was in high school.
Okay.
The drummer, he was in ROTC. Eddie Thomas, he went to...
He was in the first band that,
right,
you said you had?
The Condor Flames.
Okay.
In high school, him. And the lead guitar player is a guy we have from a music school. His name is Jose, he worked with us, and he also used to work with a group called the Fantastics.
Okay.
And that's where we got him from.
Okay.
So that
record, it didn't really get any play, right? You just put
it
out.
Right.
So did you ever do any more music or record any more music or anything like that since that record?
No, that was the best.
Okay.
Best shot.
Okay, well, it's definitely, even though you guys never did any more music, you definitely released a lot of records, so you definitely put out enough enough stuff. So I got to say thanks so much for coming down to the studio and telling your story. Do you guys have any last words for the audience?
Well, I'd like to say it's for me, it's been very fulfilling to hear these records that I haven't heard in years myself.
Okay.
And with the sound quality the way it is, I really appreciate you guys taking the time out to call us and try to get together for an interview. And again, I really appreciate that.
Yeah, Tom, thanks so much for you coming down. You the guys that made the music.
Thank you.
Okay, well, since we have time, I'll play one more record by The Intentions. This is called Baby, Baby, Release Me.